The Leo Frank case, of course, takes place here in 1913 to 1915. Congress is passing immigrant restriction legislation in the early 1920s, especially in the tumult following the First World War. The revival of the Ku Klux Klan originated here in Atlanta, and Atlanta was the international headquarters of the KKK. And the KKK in the 1920s was not only an anti-black organization, it was kind of an all-purpose scapegoating organization. Again, you had gone through various tumultuous times during the First World War and its aftermath, and when I say a scapegoating organization, the Klan and people with a similar kind of bent would target Catholics or immigrants or radicals or Jews or any number of groups who were seen as kind of the reason for the country's problems. Sort of this older white Protestant conservative kind of force at the time that's reacting to the changes going on and scapegoating, and the Klan kind of epitomizes that.
One of the immigrant groups targeted by the Klan that a lot of people aren't aware of was the Greek American community. And what was it about Greeks that raised the ire of the Klan?
Well, I mean, a variety of things. You know, the Greek Orthodox Church is not a Protestant denomination, so that's one reason. And again, as I said before, the Klan was also virulently anti-Catholic. I mean, here they got rid of Catholic school teachers. They tried to get rid of books that emphasized the role of the Catholic Church in world history, which is cutting out a pretty wide swath of world history. There's a whole group of people that weren't quite sure if they were white or black, you know, Lebanese and Syrians and people from the Middle East and Greeks, you know, kind of dark skinned, dark haired, swarthy, perhaps showing more allegiance to their home country than to the United States. So Greeks, among many groups, were targets at the time.
But the Greek community in certain parts of the U.S. didn't take the attacks sitting down, so to speak. I mean, they sort of coalesced and organized to fight back in a way.
Right. And here in Atlanta, you had the founding on this day of the organization, HEPO. There were two salesmen based in Atlanta, George Polos and John Angelopoulos, who kind of said, we need to have an organization to defend ourselves. And in a way, very similar to the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith that had formed actually in the aftermath of the Leo Frank case, and very similar to the NAACP that had organized not too many years ago as a national organization as well. So there were these other examples, and they said, let's do something, you know, that organizes the Greek community, and that's why HEPA was formed. And it spread very quickly. By the end of 1924, 49 chapters, and, you know, by the end of 1928, 192 chapters around the country. They made some crucial decisions. One, that the official language was English. I mean, they wanted to show that they were patriotic Americans. And they also did model themselves off of groups like the B'nai B'rith Anti-Defamation League as well, to kind of point out instances of discrimination all the time, asserting that they were, in fact, Americans.
And it was a fraternal organization to begin with. And what I found interesting is that they sort of modeled themselves after the Masons with special regalia and secret initiation rituals and things of that sort. And the Klan did that too.
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole decade is a decade of this kind of stuff. I mean, you have Shriners and you have moose and elks and, you know, you have these fraternal lodges that actually, again, in an era of insecurity, offered some sort of security and connection and belonging and membership in a kind of society that often seemed rootless and in motion all the time and so forth.
Is it fair to say that one of HEPA's goals is to actually get the Greek community to assimilate more into the mainstream rather than just coalesce and preserve Greek tradition in America?
Yeah, although I think in more recent years they have actually kind of gone more to kind of accentuating what you might call Hellenic traditions, you know, Greek traditions and so forth. At the time, very definitely, it was an assimilationist kind of organization.
But not a political organization per se.
No.
Yet, as it grew, I would imagine politicians took note of it.
Sure. I mean, and you also have, you know, the role of Greece during the Second World War and its aftermath. And Greece, of course, for Truman was a real hot spot in the global war against communism in the Cold War. So certainly groups like HEPA, especially during the Second World War and its aftermath, became more interconnected with national and even international politics.
Cliff Kuhn, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.